wasn't ready to throw in the towel after 4 months, but I was desperate enough to do this research. Mm. And people, you know, the stats will say people abandon their blogs after 9 months, within 9 months. But that's not enough time to show Google you're an expert if you've only been at this for 9 months.
Hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives, and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential. Welcome. Today I have Janice Wald, and she is a blogging expert, and you're going to find out why in a minute. She's really good at SEO. So we're going to learn a lot from Janice today about how we can use search engine optimization to help boost our posts in Google searches to gain more readership. And she's going to also give us a few marketing tips. So let's learn a little bit more about Janice Wald. Janice Wald is the author of An Insider's Guide to Building a Successful Blog, All the Instagram Tips and Tricks You Need to Know, and How to Make Money Blogging by Varying Your Income Stream. She's been nominated for several awards, including Best Marketing Blog in 2019 and Most Informative Blog in 2017. She's also been featured in the Huffington Post. If you haven't guessed by now, Janice is a blogging expert, and she empowers other bloggers by giving step-by-step directions for content creation. She's on a mission to empower bloggers with tips for search engine optimization, social media, marketing technology, productivity, and monetization. I am here with Janice Wald, and I'm very excited because she's a digital marketer, and she's going to tell us about SEO. And I don't know a lot. You know what? I think SEO scares a lot of bloggers because it sounds like this complicated, formulaic, all these moving parts involved. So I'm excited to hear what you have to tell us about SEO and how we can drive some more traffic to our websites. How are you doing, Janice?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Can you give us a little bit of like your background? How did you even get into marketing?
Well, it was sort of a natural evolution. In 2014, I started blogging and really enjoyed the process of writing and building a community. Where I struggled was finding a niche, and that is what I recommend to your readers. I was at Reddit this morning and reading, and people were even asking as recently as today, do you need a content niche? Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. And if you want to write about a variety of topics, I recommend you start more than one blog. Mm-hmm. I did that. I really, really vacillated about what I wanted to write about. And, you know, somebody literally called my blog bipolar. And it was. There was such a disparate number of topics. I was writing about the news, and I was writing about movies, and I was writing about pets. And I mean, every, you know, as foreign to each other as you could imagine, yeah. I was blogging about it. And you need a niche for a variety of reasons. I mean, number one, it's really confusing to your readers mm-hmm. if you don't have one. Right. You know, like for example, if somebody signed up to my blog, let's say, to get my articles about pets. And then the next time I publish, I'm publishing something, a movie review, right. They're going to be confused and they're going to unsubscribe and go somewhere where there's, you know, more clarity. Right. And number two, another reason, and I know we're going to talk about SEO and I love SEO. So I'm excited even to talk about it with you and your listeners. You know, another reason that you need a niche is not just so your readers aren't confused, but you don't want Google to be confused. And, you know, if you do SEO correctly, and there, I am of the believer, I am a believer in that there is a correct way to do SEO. And I believe a lot of SEOs think that. It's not complicated, but there is a correct way to do it. And if you do SEO correctly, which I'm excited about explaining to your listeners and your readers today, you can end up generating traffic from Google and other search engines for years. I get a boatload of traffic, I'm excited to report, to an article I published, I think 2017. I mean, I'm in my fourth year of generating a lot of traffic from Google to that one article, and that's just one article. Imagine all the other articles and how much traffic you can accumulate if you do it correctly.
Right.
So
right.
Google will want to show, you know, Google is a big believer in user experience. Mm-hmm. So just like you don't want your readers confused, Google doesn't want its users confused. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I find if I publish many, like for example, I'm finding a lot of success with my Instagram posts, my Instagram articles. And what I can tell from my stats, my metrics, is that Google thinks I'm an expert in Instagram tips. Mm. And it keeps sending me visibility. It keeps sending my posts to its users that search up Instagram tips. So when I see that at the end of the year, gee, Google is giving, you know, my Instagram tips articles more visibility than, let's say, my other articles, I am then inspired, and I should be, you know, as your listeners should be encouraged to write more about Instagram. Because Google, you know, people think, oh, it's a mystery. How do we get search engine traffic? But Google is really clear. It gives you visibility. One, when it thinks you are an expert in something, and that is why you need a content niche. You know, if I were to maintain what I did in 2014 and have articles about pets and articles about blogging and articles about the movies and articles about the news, Google wouldn't think I was an expert in anything, and it wouldn't be sending me traffic. And I like traffic. I want traffic. Right. You know, it feels good to know that I'm generating traffic. And of course, for your listeners that want to make sales, I mean, you can't make sales if people don't see your content.
Right.
And so for all these reasons, you know, it's really, I want to say simple, although I know that SEO has a reputation for being complex.
Right.
But, you know, I think, you know, basic SEO 101, you know, is yes, you must have a content niche. And, you know, for people that find that frustrating, and I know there are people that just want to write about everything under the sun,
right.
you can,
right?
But yeah. You need more than one blog.
You know, when I first started blogging, Janice, 10 years ago, I did the same thing. My blog had no focus. I was just all over the place. And I was frustrated because I really didn't even know what I wanted to write about. I was just kind of floundering. I don't think I was getting a lot of traffic. I don't even know if I was checking my stats, or maybe we could talk about that too. But it is important that you do have a focus, which I do now on this blog. But I'm just excited to hear. So, okay, where do we start? We have to pick it.
I thought perhaps, if you don't mind, I could share with your readers how I settled on blogging tips.
Yeah.
Maybe this will help them pick a niche.
Yeah.
If they can resonate with my story.
Okay.
So as I said, okay, I started a blog in 2014. I saw the movie Julie and Julia.
Yeah.
Adams, right? And I thought, you know, I want to do that. I want to blog. It was a movie about a blogger. So I started blogging. And as I said, I had all these disparate topics, and I was struggling to generate traffic and get subscribers. So I'm writing about all these different things. And this is how I settled on blogging tips. I thought, you know, I'm going to do research on how to make a successful blog. And I started reading about blogging tips and SEO tips. And I thought, you know, I'm reading about this. Why don't I write about what I'm reading on my blog? Mm-hmm. And I wrote an article in January. I published an article in January of 2015 about Google Analytics. I received so much traffic. The adrenaline rush was incomparable. Wow. And after struggling, you know, from through the end of 2014, it was so depressing. I've been there, people. I know the depression of not getting the traffic that you want and feel you deserve because you work so hard on your blog. Right. And the amount of traffic I generated to this one post about Google Analytics, it was daunting. And I said, I'm hooked. That's it. I have found my niche. I have been blogging about blogging ever since.
So how did that article garner so much traffic?
I think people would like research, you know, Google, how to get Google traffic, and the Google Analytics post came up, or they would Google how to use Google Analytics, and my Google Analytics post came up.
Because you had those words somewhere in your blog post?
I'm sorry?
Because you had those words somewhere in your blog post?
Oh, yes, yes. And we will talk. I'd love to talk about SEO strategies and keywords and putting them in your blog post, definitely.
Okay. So where are we going to start, Janice? So I just started a blog. Let's just say I started a blog and I have a niche. Is it niche or niche?
I call it a niche. I don't know. I've heard it pronounced both ways.
I have a niche. Let's say my niche is baking.
Okay.
And I'm going to write my first post. What should I do in that first post?
Well, before you write, okay, yeah. And I know it's exciting, you know, you're inspired and you have this passion and you want to sit down at the keyboard and start typing.
Yes.
But don't.
Okay.
You because before you start, you want to make sure you're picking a topic for which there's interest.
Ah.
So let's go ahead and get into search engine optimization, okay? So I want to, like I said, I'm a big believer in search engine marketing. You can generate, and you can generate search engine traffic from Google, a lot of search engine traffic from Google for years if you follow these tips. One, before you even start writing, you know, you want to make sure that there is interest. Imagine all the people in the world blogging about baking. It is too broad a topic.
Mm.
So you want to find a keyword tool, and I'm happy to recommend some. I use KW Finder.
Mm-hmm.
I do pay for it. Mm-hmm. I find it's worth paying for.
Yeah. They can get kind of pricey, Janice.
They can.
Yeah.
Moz only allows 10 queries a month, but if you use the free Chrome extension, the Moz bar, you get unlimited queries a month. And Moz has a good reputation, and I recommend it as a keyword tool. And if you'd like, after we're done chatting, I can send you the link to my Moz bar tutorial so that your readers know how to use the Moz bar.
Yeah, that'd be great. How do you spell that?
M-O-Z.
Oh, okay.
B-A-R. It's a free Google Chrome extension, the Moz bar.
Okay.
And it has other perks. You know, it'll tell you the domain authority ranking of every website, but it's a pretty popular keyword tool.
Okay.
So step one, you're going to go to a keyword tool and you're going to type in your seed keyword, you know, your topic. In this example, it would be baking.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to scroll through the keywords that populate, okay? And you're looking for two metrics and they're opposite. So you're looking for monthly search volume.
Mm-hmm.
And you want that to be high. The higher, the better. The more people that will find your post,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, so you're looking for monthly search, and baking is just too generic. You know,
right.
See what comes up. I'm thinking even baking tips, you know, are way too generic. I mean, I don't know it's going to be a guide to baking. I mean, would it be a guide to baking chicken? Would it be a guide to baking chocolate chip cookies?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to try to narrow what you're searching for.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking, like I said, for these two metrics. One, monthly search.
Mm-hmm.
The higher, the better. That means more people are interested in your topic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll give you case in point. I'll give you an example.
Right.
I'm a big fan of the content curation site Flipboard. I could write about Flipboard all the time.
I use Flipboard in my classroom. It's great.
I really like it.
Yeah.
Well, the last time I looked it up in a keyword tool, it said there were only 10 searches a month for Flipboard. So I'm not going to generate as much traffic to an article about Flipboard that I would generate to, let's say, an article about Instagram, because there's a lot of searches for Instagram articles every month. So that's what you want to do, okay? You know, and it's hard, you know, it not to be subjective, because I know we have passion about what we want to write about. Take the subjectivity out of it. You know, you mentioned when we were chatting early, a formulaic approach. There are two opposite numbers. One is monthly search. You want that number to be high. The higher, the better. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's talk about the other metric that you want to search for. And that is online competition for readership. You want that metric to be low.
Okay.
Because you don't want a lot of competition for mm-hmm. readership. You want everybody to read your article.
Right.
So yeah. The lower, the better.
Okay.
And I said that I use KW Finder, KD, keyword difficulty. At KW Finder, it would be called KD.
Okay.
I think it Uber suggests Neil Patel's keyword tool. It's called something else, you know, and various keyword tools will call that different things. Mm. I find KW Finder really easy to use. It's almost like driving a car, because not only does it give me a number, the lower the better, but if it's easy to rank for, the number is in a green box. Like you go through the green light, like right. It's saying you got green to go. Go right. For it. Yeah. Go for it. Write about this topic.
Yeah.
Yellow, if the number is in a yellow box, it's saying, well, maybe you want to think about it. You know, mm-hmm. proceed with caution. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you kind of slow down when you get to the yellow light when you're driving. And right. In a red box, it's saying, no way, it's going to be really difficult to rank for.
Okay.
So, you know, certainly I would imagine something as, you know, difficult as baking. You know, I mean, as generic, as broad as right. baking.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, totally the opposite mentality. I'm like, oh, baking, you know, something like that. Everybody's looking for baking.
Right.
But there's so many people writing about different types of baking and baking different foods and different methods of baking that it would be impossible, for, you know, for, especially for a new blogger to try to rank for that.
So they should really narrow it down to like what you're going to be baking. Yes.
And I hate to, you know, make this more complicated,
yeah.
but your readers might have heard of long tail keywords, and long tail keywords are 4 words long. So if they need a number, how many words should the keywords be? Ideally 4.
Okay.
So okay. when I said like baking tips, that's only 2.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, ideally 4. And if you can come up with a 4-word keyword, and people are searching for it, and the online competition is low, you're golden.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So we're going to go to a keyword search.
Yes.
Tool.
That's where you start.
Okay. To kind of narrow down our niche.
Well, you've got your content niche. You're trying to focus your topic.
Focus the topic.
Yeah, focus your topic. Like I said, you're going to shoot for a 4-word keyword phrase, also called the keyword, your focus keyword, right? And you'll find that by scrolling through the keyword tool. When I use KW Finder, there are so many, you know, results that populate. I say, well, I don't want it to be more difficult than, let's say, keyword difficulty 24. You know, I want it to be easier than that. And it won't show me anything harder than that. You know, why waste my time looking for keywords that I just don't think I can rank for?
Right.
So the lower the number, the better. And, it, you know, I know KW Finder does have a filter to save you time. I didn't realize that until I was using KW Finder for years. Okay. So I know Ahrefs, which is again a pricey keyword tool, but that also has a filter so that you're only looking for levels of difficulty you think you can rank for. You know, check it out. I'm not sure if Uber Suggest has one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
we found our keyword. Yeah. Let's go on to the next step. All right. So you're going to write your article, but there are certain places you need to put your keyword. And this is really important, okay? This is how you optimize. This is search engine optimization. We're going to optimize it for the search engine by putting our keyword in certain places. Okay. Number one, you want it in your headline. And ideally, it should be at the beginning of the headline. So okay. I will often put it at the beginning of my headline and a colon, and then I'll give my headline.
So you'll put the keyword
at the beginning of the headline.
And then a colon.
Right. And then the headline.
And this is is this the title of your article or what?
This is the SEO title.
The SEO?
So, yes, the SEO title. If you want your headline to just be your headline, that's okay. But for the meta description and the SEO title, you need the keyword and you should have it at the beginning. For example, a guest author of mine just wrote about the best-selling app. Like if you want to sell on Amazon, you know, you want to sell online, he reviewed selling apps. And I struggled to find a keyword for this, but I found one. It was sites like OfferUp. By the way, like is good. I do well with like the word like in the keyword. Huh. You know, sites StumbleUpon folded. So I wrote about sites like StumbleUpon. Google Plus folded. So I wrote about sites like Google Plus. Mm. So, you know, you almost have to be creative when you come up with your keyword. And I know this is three words, sites like OfferUp, but it was close to four, so I went for it. And I just found out this week it ranked. But when I had my headline, it didn't say sites like OfferUp. It was just how to use the best-selling app or something like that, you know, and I try to get a number in there. And if you can't find a number, say in 2020, but you need a number in the headline. But where the meta description is and it asks for the SEO title, you have to have your keyword and ideally at the beginning. You know, your readers should really use an SEO tool. Mm-hmm. I used to use Yoast, mm-hmm. and I have a business partner, and he just raved up, down, and sideways about Rank Math.
I think that's the one I'm using. Yeah.
I switched to Rank Math, and I'm very happy. You really don't have to remember any of this. Rank Math will tell you. Yeah. Rank Math will make sure, you know, it gives you a number. Ideally, you're going to get 100. It's very hard to get 100. Closer you can get 100, the more optimized it is. Okay. But since we're chatting, you want the keyword in several places. One, in the SEO title, ideally at the beginning.
And that SEO title you input in the meta.
Yes, the meta description. It will ask for the SEO title. Okay. Yes. And you certainly want it in the URL. It should be the URL.
Okay.
So my URL, it was, you know, https://mostlyblogging.com/sites-like-offer-up and with hyphens, sites-like-offer-up. So, you know, you put hyphens between the words. It's okay. The WordPress will do it. If you forget the hyphen, they'll be there.
I can go in and put a custom URL for my article?
Oh, absolutely. You must. It should be the URL. I mean, the URL should be the keyword.
You're like
screaming at Google, pick me. If people are looking for this topic on your search engine, show them mine. How are you going to yell at Google? This is my post. My post has this information. One, you're going to put the keyword in the SEO title, even if you don't put it in the headline. Two, you're going to make the URL the keyword, right? That's the permalink.
Mm-hmm. Permalink, yes.
Sorry, I'm using synonyms.
Okay.
Three, put it in the meta description. So what description do you want Google to show people that are searching for your topic? You have to have your keyword in there. I mean, if they're searching for your topic, you've got to have your keyword in the meta description. This is the description Google will show people when your article comes up.
Okay.
All right. So moving on, you have subheads. You know, this is how to format your article. You should have subheads to show people different sections or starting, different tips are starting. At least one of those subheads should have the keyword in it. Okay. If you can't, certainly the last one. So like wrapping up, colon, your keyword. In, you know, wrapping up your keyword, summary, colon, the keyword, conclusion, colon, the keyword.
Okay. Yeah. Janice, does, because when you talk about subheads, it's kind of suggesting that the article should be kind of lengthy. Should the article be long?
Yes. Google likes long form content. Google wants to show quality content to its users. Google is very into user experience. It wants to please the user, right? That way people will go back to Google. And if you just type fluff, forget it. You want to type a guide, and not just a guide full of empty words, you know, a quality guide to solving somebody's problem.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Do you think people actually take the time to read all that, Janice? Because I'm going to be honest, I just go through and skim for the information I'm looking for. And
most people do. But that's why you want subheads, so that people can scroll and look at the, you know, and read the information they're looking for.
Okay.
I recommend having a table of contents. I use it, you know, there are plugins that'll give you a table of contents. Again, it eases user experience. It helps organize the information for the user. I have it at the beginning, right before my page break.
Yeah, I've seen
that page break. Right.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Okay.
And where else are you going to have your keyword? You're going to have it in your post, of course. You're going to have it in the article. So you want it in the introduction, ideally the first 100 words, you want your keyword. Rank Math says you have to have it in the first sentence. The very first sentence. So I have it at the beginning of my introduction, I have it at the end of my introduction. Mm-hmm. I have it sprinkled throughout my post, and I have it in my conclusion. Rank Math won't let me over-optimize. Rank Math won't let me have it too much. And Rank Math won't let me have it too little. It'll tell me if I don't have it the right percentage.
Okay. Okay.
And of course, the longer the article, the more you need your keyword. The shorter the article, the less you would need your keyword.
Right. Okay. So the first.
Can I move on to what else you should have in your post while I'm thinking about it? Okay. Yeah. You need internal and external links. So like I was saying earlier, you know, if Google thinks, and hopefully it does, that I'm an expert, let's say, in Instagram tips. I should be linking to my other Instagram tips posts.
Okay.
It's called a link network. Like Google saying, oh, look, she isn't just writing this isolated article about Instagram tips. She's written this article and she's linking to supplemental information in another Instagram tips post and more supplemental information about Instagram in another Instagram. So it's like showing Google that I'm just not randomly writing about this topic, that I have, I want to say expertise, a background. So, because again, you know, you have to almost like think like Google, you know, what will make Google's users happy so they go back to Google? If Google shows the posts to people, one, from experts. And, you know, guys, I really have to stress patience, 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 patience. I told you at the end of 2014, I was so discouraged. I was in tears. People, you know, were not reading my posts. And that's why I started proactively researching all this, right? And now I find out that Google gives visibility to posts, to blogs with longevity. You're not going to get that after 4 months. And I'm like, okay, you know, I wasn't ready to throw in the towel after 4 months, but I was desperate enough to do this research. And people, you know, the stats will say people abandon their blogs after 9 months, within 9 months. But that that's not enough time to show Google you're an expert if you've only been at this for 9 months. It could take years, and it is worth the wait, especially if you're trying to sell on your website.
That's good advice, because a lot of people do get discouraged and they just stop writing and leave the blog.
I'm going to say this again. I was not a patient person. Okay. Yeah. Blogging has made me a more patient person.
Well, that's the beauty of it. I mean, gosh, you learn virtues and everything. Okay. So what's next, Janice? We have it. We link internally, and you also externally.
Yes. So let's talk about the external link. Okay. And there's confusion on this point. And I used to be confused too, because I think if I'm linking externally to somebody else who's written about this topic, I'm linking to my competition.
Right.
And I don't want Google to give my competition the readership. I want Google to give me the readership. It is the opposite mentality that we should all have. Okay. Number one, if we link out to our competition, Google thinks highly of us. Like, wow, I'm going to get back to that phrase again, user experience. This blogger really cares about the user's experience. They want their user to be so informed, so educated on this topic, they are literally linking to their competition. And number two, if you link out to authority blogs, it makes you look like an authority. Like if I link to Neil Patel, I'm really trying to help my reader. Whereas if I link out to a new blogger who's been at this a day, am I really trying to help my reader? How much of an expert could they be in this topic?
Right.
So I know it's ironic, that things that common sense tell us are the opposite that is true in blogging.
Right. Right. Janice, sometimes when I do the internal links, I get something called a ping back.
Yay! What that means? A ping back means somebody is linked to you. So if you're notified of a ping back, it's like somebody's pinging back to their blog from your blog.
Okay.
So that's generally a good sign. It generally means somebody is linked to you.
Okay. All right. So we've linked internally and externally.
Yes.
So what's next?
So now what are we going to do? So we've really covered the nuts. Oh, I forgot something.
Uh-huh.
The image. Yes.
Image.
You need a dominant image.
Okay.
And that dominant image will have an alt tag.
Yeah.
You need the keyword there.
Okay. Don't leave that blank.
Right.
Okay.
And what's really cool about this is, image SEO is a thing. So of course we've all heard of Google Images.
Yeah.
Google will show your dominant image to people searching for your topic. So this gives you really two ways to get traffic. One by your text that has the keyword sprinkled throughout it, and the other is by your picture.
Okay. Now, isn't this what Pinterest does?
I use Ahrefs a lot. I don't use Pinterest as often, so I'm not that familiar with Pinterest SEO, although I have written about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wrote an article for another blogger. I wrote a guest post about image SEO. Yeah. And so I did a lot of research about it. And I noticed, especially I'm relatively new to Ahrefs. I just started with it over the summer. It tells me where my links are. And it says your link is in an image pack. And I'm like, an image pack? My link to my site is in my image. So if somebody goes to Google Images and my image is there and they click on my image, it will take them straight to my blog.
Mm.
And so it's extra chances for traffic. And I do recommend your readers have more than one image. It's like Google, again, we're talking about what Google likes, right? We have to think like Google to please Google and get traffic from Google. So you want media. Google likes a variety of media. So that's going to be your dominant image. I rarely have only one image in my post. Rarely.
Oh.
If I'm rushing and it's bad form. I have screenshots.
Okay.
I might have more than one image, but Google likes a variety of media. So what might that mean? It might mean an image, you know, it might mean a screenshot. It might mean a video. Some people have infographics in their articles. Mm-hmm. Other people have graphs and tables.
Yeah.
Google likes a variety of media. So I kind of find if I see that my posts are floundering in the SERPs, the search engine results pages, I will go to my go-to tool for video creation. I love Lumen 5. I recommend Lumen 5. I'll send you my Lumen 5 tutorial as well.
Mm-hmm.
It is so easy. You just get, it's free and it's a free service. You just give Lumen 5 the URL and it creates a video for you.
What?
It's so easy and quick. I do nothing but paste the URL.
Oh my
and,
God.
I then take, it feels like a minute. It's probably, it really fast, like 2 minutes. Like almost as soon as I'm done pasting the URL, but I look at it, I read it, I make sure I like the video, I like the pictures. You know, you want to read it, make sure your text isn't cut off or something. It's so easy using Lumen 5. And then almost as soon as I click publish, it's downloading. And so I then take the video, I send it to YouTube, because you do want a third-party app. I send it to YouTube. So I notice now I'm like cross-purposing.
Yeah.
Like purposing my content. Yeah. So I'm now doing two things. One, I'm getting multimedia on my blog. I have text. I already have my image. Now I'm going to have a video. I now repurpose that content at YouTube, which is going to get me social media, you know, a chance to get traffic from social media. But the main reason is I want the code. When I go to YouTube, I click share,
mm-hmm.
and it will give me an HTML code. I then go back to my blog post. I put it back into draft. You know, I don't unpublish it, but I edit it. I add an HTML code box. I paste the code of the video, and now I have video in my post. It really is very, very easy.
Wow. Okay.
Repurposing content, which saves time, of course.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely going to check out that Lumen 5.
Lumen 5. No space.
Okay.
Lumen 5.
Okay. Okay. That's great. So if we do this, all of this, it's actually not a lot, I guess, right? You got to start with your keyword finder, then put your keyword in all the beginning, your heading, and make sure if it's not at your top head, subhead, then the last one for sure, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the permalink, make sure the URL has the keyword.
Yes.
Okay. And the meta description, that would be the SEO title.
Yes. Well, the title is in the meta description. And you also need a description. And they don't give you a lot of characters.
Okay.
160 maybe? You know. So the point is, and we should really talk about the reader's journey. You know, people go to blog posts, other than entertainment and humor, people go to blog posts to find solutions to problems.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure you're telling people at the beginning of your article that you have the solution to their problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you know, it's called the bounce rate. You're going to bounce away. And if you have a bad bounce rate, that will tell Google you don't have a good blog post. So tell people in your introduction, you know, start by sounding relatable. I understand you have this problem. You know, tell them you're all in it together. I have this problem too. And let them know the stress the problem causes, the anxiety the problem causes, you know, the challenges the problem caused. So they know that you have been there. And then end your introduction by saying, and I say these words, by the time you are done reading this post, you will. And I tell them right at the beginning what they are going to get for spending time on my blog.
Hmm.
And then I take them on a journey to solve that problem. Tip after tip after tip after tip. And you want to make it comprehensive and thorough. And it's going to take you time. And then in the end, in the conclusion, give them takeaways, remind them what they have gained from spending time on your blog. You know, takeaways, these are the solutions to the problems. And you want to end as well with a call to action. Mm. What do you want them to do? I generally end by asking them to share. I also end by asking them to comment. Mm-hmm. You know, I might say, you know, have you ever had this experience? How did you handle it? Or, you know, can you add any suggestions? I look forward to your views in the comment boxes, you know, in the comment box.
Yeah.
There's, you know, it's kind of controversial about whether Google counts comments in your ranking factor. Some people say yes, some people say no. I'm inclined to say yes, because I heard Google likes active blogs, and comments are a sign you have an active blog. But whether or not I'm right is irrelevant. Bing, the Bing search engine, definitely considers comments as a factor. So Google, while it's certainly the world's most powerful search engine, it's not the only.
Okay. So this kind of brings up the question, since, you know, you have to write a really thorough, lengthy blog post to rank in Google, how often should one be posting?
I would say that depends on how much time you have. I try to post once a week. That doesn't mean I'm getting out a blog post once a week. I mean, yes, I'm not trying to contradict myself. Over the summer, I tend to have more time than now, let's say in the fall. So over the summer, when I have time, I'll get out maybe 2 blog posts in a week. So come fall, when I don't have as much time, my calendar right now, I usually try to stay scheduled 5 weeks ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So happily, I do post sponsored content. People guest post on my site, which means I'm able to get out more than one post a week. But I personally only write one post a week. But if I know that I'm going to have a busy time, you know, like the holidays are busy for everybody. So it's called batch blogging a lot when you have time. Mm. And I use the WordPress editorial calendar, the published press as a great editorial calendar as well. You can pre-schedule your articles. Mm. Right now I have drafts scheduled into January, but I think I'm only scheduled, I say only, into maybe late November.
Okay. So how then when you talk about repurposing your post, how do you repurpose it for places like Facebook? Or should one be doing that?
Can I answer for Instagram? Because I keep talking about Instagram. Yeah. Right now, I'm just totally obsessed.
Yeah. I'm actually very new on Instagram myself. I just started my account last week. So
great. Wow. You know, I find even though Instagram isn't famous for web traffic generation, there are ways that you can do that. You know, number one, Instagram's great for branding, of course.
Yes.
But the magic number on Instagram is 10,000. If you can generate 10,000 followers, if you can get 10,000 followers, you are sitting pretty. Because when you make an Instagram story, you're able to include a swipe up link. And you do the same thing that you do in your blog post. Have you ever had this problem? And you give a poll. Polls engage everybody. It takes a second to click on a poll. And it's fun, because after you click on the poll, Instagram shows you how other people voted. So you get to compare your vote with other people. So have you ever had this problem? Yes or no? And then I add after the poll, if you clicked yes, swipe up for the solution to this problem. And people swipe up and they read my tips. So using the Instagram story, I find, is a great way, a fun way, an easy way, a free way to do social media marketing. I have sold ebooks this way. I have sold courses this way. I've generated blog traffic this way.
Oh my, you know what? I was just, I don't understand Instagram stories. And now you've clarified it for me, because I was just wondering, what is the point of this? Because I've just been doing videos. I've been looking at other people's stories and I was thinking, okay, I don't get it. But what the way that you're using it makes sense. Oh my goodness. Okay. Now I have ideas. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that, Janice. What about IGTV?
I did start using IGTV, and for people that don't have 10,000 followers, I do recommend IGTV mm-hmm. because you are able to put in a link, a live link. Mm-hmm. I didn't find I got traction that way. Yeah. And generally, I think if people find they're not getting traction, they don't pursue. So mm-hmm. I didn't pursue using IGTV, but happily I do have more than 10,000 Instagram followers. So I am able to put in the swipe up link. I would recommend people focus on getting 10,000 followers so that
okay.
they can use that swipe up link.
How do you do that? How do you get 10,000 followers, Janice?
Very easy, and it's free. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I recommend follow loops. So if you need to find them, just go to the Instagram search bar and type in hashtag follow loops. They have follow loops for everybody. They have mommy follow loops. They have pet follow loops. They have author follow loops. They have teacher follow loops. They have follow loops for everybody. I just like follow loops. I just wanted 10,000.
Okay.
So I wasn't too picky about what kind of follow loop I was using. And I think as a result, I do have a lot of mommy bloggers following me on Instagram, even though I myself am not a mommy blogger, but that's okay. Again, the point was I needed a minimum of 10,000 followers in order to use that very important swipe up link.
Okay.
So. I want to talk about Instagram some more if it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when you make an Instagram post and you have a caption,
mm-hmm.
They don't allow a live link. You right. can give the URL, hope people copy paste. Mm. You might get a bit.ly link shorter, bit.ly. It's a free service. So you can use a bit.ly link. And if you customize it, like for me, when I sell my eBooks on Instagram, I have a bit.ly link. You know, it might be bit.ly.amazon or something. And then people remember Amazon. It's easy for them to type into a URL right. as opposed to a lot of code or something. But Linktree is a free service, a great service, and it allows you so many live links. So in your bio, it's like a tree of links, and there's a Linktree URL. You put that URL in your bio, and people click, and they can see what you have for sale, and they can see your blog posts. They see my consulting services. I must have 20 Linktree links in my Linktree. And then in the caption, you want to put live link in bio. And that way people know, oh, they don't have to type in this link to a URL. They just go to your bio.
Okay. That's so Linktree.
Yes.
And then type in live link in bio when you're
in the caption.
In the caption.
Yes. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I've noticed it seems like these platforms like Instagram and Facebook, they want to keep you on their platform. Like they don't want people to wander off.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's why I have long captions.
Okay.
Because I know that Instagram's trying to keep people on their site. And the longer my caption, the longer people will be on my post reading my caption. And I'm hoping Instagram gives me more visibility for that reason than somebody with a shorter caption.
Janice, when you post on Instagram, are you mostly posting stories or do photos, are photos useful? Because a lot of people use photos.
I have so much fun posting Instagram stories. I kind of go in spurts. Sometimes I'm like obsessively posting Instagram stories. Don't do it more than every 2 hours though. Because you want your story to be at the top of people's feed.
Yeah.
So every 2 hours will keep you consecutively, you know, consistently at the top of people's feed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whereas if you post them all at once, then you won't, you know, then the newer stories will be at the top of people's feeds.
Oh, okay.
So every 2 hours is my recommendation. As far as my posts, I probably don't do them as often as I should. I used to do it when I started on Instagram, it was like 3 times a day, then it was 1 a day, and now it's maybe 3 times a week. I do the posts, yeah. But I do the stories a lot, much more often than that.
Okay, that's good. Now, are you concerned in this with the follow loops? Are you concerned with bots following you? Does that even matter?
Oh, no. I use a service that helps me, very affordable, with the follow loops. And, I communicate with people, like the author, I'm an author. So I was interested in the author follow loops, and we write about each other's books and comment. So no, it never occurred to me that I had to deal with bots, but okay. It really wasn't a concern. Again, my goal was getting to 10,000 Instagram followers so that I could put the swipe up link in the story.
And how long did it take you to actually reach that number?
It took a while, but once I discovered follow loops, mm-hmm. It was really fast.
Okay. That's good to know.
I heard some people who use follow loops get 100 followers a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's very effective. And they're real people. They're not bots. There are other people who've signed up for follow loops because they know that it's required. People are going to follow them if they follow other people.
Yeah. I think the key to all of this, because even if you do get a lot of followers, you still need the quality content to kind of keep them engaged, right?
Oh, totally. And that's where, it does help to have a niche. Like I said, I haven't been so concerned with a niche on Instagram, but I do write about a lot of Instagram tips, and they're on Instagram. They're a captive audience. It's like a built-in interest there. So even if they're a mommy blogger or a pet blogger or an author blogger or something, or a teacher blogger, if they're on Instagram, they're going to be interested in Instagram tips. Mm-hmm. So I find that's helpful because I do write up that Instagram a lot. Wow. You had asked, by the way, about Facebook. That's kind of a fine line. I'm always afraid if I promote on Facebook, I'm going to look spammy. So I don't normally promote on my wall. There's two places to promote on Facebook. Facebook groups. I highly recommend. When I was a new blogger, my blog exploded using Facebook groups. I was promoting to them just this morning, yesterday. I have a resource. If you'd like me to send you when we're done, I have a list of groups that allow you to promote every day. I have a list of groups that allow you to promote weekly. And it's great because, you get a lot of blog traffic when you promote in groups, and you're allowed and nobody's calling you a spammer. And so, like I said, when I first started, I could not have, develop my blog without promoting to Facebook.
I just started a Facebook also, and I joined two groups, but it's like crickets, like no one's saying anything. And I noticed that they don't want you to promote. I think they have like 1 day a week or something where you could do that. But so that would be any information you could pass my way would be great.
Absolutely.
We're kind of running out of time here, Janice, and there's so much more I could talk to you about. I do quickly want to, do you know anything about Twitter or how does
oh,
that?
Yes, happen? Yes.
I'm a Twitter person.
Twitter, I have, what do I have? Last check, I had 19,600 Twitter followers.
Woo!
My second best social media platform. Not in terms of traffic, but in terms of followers.
Yeah.
I get this year, I've received the most traffic from Quora, the question answer site.
Okay.
Facebook has now fallen to my number two social media traffic referrer. Twitter is my third. So it's in my top three.
Oh, gosh, Janice, we could talk forever because you have so much knowledge.
Well, Twitter, I find the key is hashtags. People will, both Twitter and Instagram thrive on hashtag use. Just type what you're looking for in the Twitter search bar with a hashtag and, it comes up. So I make sure that I use hashtags. I wouldn't use more than three per tweet,
okay,
or you look spammy.
Right.
Whereas Instagram, you could use 30 in a caption.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
good stuff. Janice Wald, can you tell us where we can find you, what you have going on?
Sure. My blog is mostlyblogging.com, mm-hmm, and I hope that you guys will subscribe to my blog. That would be wonderful, and you'll get more SEO and social media tips that way. And I'm actually the co-founder of a blogging academy. So if people are more interested in search engine optimization and search engine marketing, we have many, many courses at the Mostly Blogging Academy that will help you. We have a package deal where you get all the courses for one price. So definitely, and I'll be happy to send you the link to the Mostly Blogging Academy as well. Let's see, I'm also on Amazon. I mentioned that I'm an ebook author. Oh, I also have Instagram tips in paperback. So I've sold, I sell ebooks. I have a blogging tips ebook. I have an Instagram tips ebook, an Instagram tips hardcover, or, you know, a real, not an ebook, a real book.
Yeah.
I've also written about how to make money online. And those books can be found on Amazon.
Wow, Janice.
Oh, and also I'm on Instagram.
Yes, I was going to ask.
Followers, I'm Janice Wald on Instagram. Please look me up. Okay. And if you type Janice Wald into the Twitter search bar, my Twitter feed will come up as well.
Yes, Janice Wald, Twitter, Instagram, Mostly Blogging, Amazon. She'll be at your local bookstore next week, by the way. No. This has been great, Janice. Thank you so much for joining me. Goodness.
Amy, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
After I interviewed Janice, I think I told, maybe I mentioned it in the interview, I can't remember, but I just felt so energized. I felt so excited with all the information that she shared with me. I said I feel like I could just run around the block 5 times. It was amazing. So I hope that you take some of the tips that she shared for search engine optimization and use them to really draw in an audience. And you can reach her. She has a list of different ways that you can find her on my website. So check that out. And yes, good luck on really building up your blog. Join me next week for another fabulous conversation with a fabulous guest. And remember to visit my website, zazo.com, for my big takeaways from my conversation with Janice. And to sign up for my weekly newsletter. And you can follow me on Instagram at Motivation to Write, Facebook at Motivation to Write, and Twitter at Ebony Hillwood. Okay, have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next Saturday.